When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Maricap News on Friday, the 19th of September, 2025.
Only kidding.
It's a Saturday. I didn't do one yesterday because busy with stuff because I was doing a new video. It takes so long to edit videos. For the Share Pickers Investment Club, because there's some new pages happening there, and I have to update it because there's new features on the website. So I updated that. And then the mother-in-law came down, and so busy chatting there. And so I didn't get around to it, to be honest. But also today, Saturday, so Megan's wife, her mother came down on Friday afternoon, and the father-in-law popped in today, Saturday, for an hour. Yeah, just popped in for an hour. They live in Essex. That's like 2 hours drive away. So he just popped in for an hour. I don't understand that. But he did, be honest, he went from Essex to Brighton to pick up a wood saw chopper thing. I don't know what it was. Then he came across it, just popped in. He said, well, that's another hour and a half journey. So it is a 3 hour round trip at least. Just pop in and say hello. I don't know why he didn't want to stay, but there we are. Anyway, that's by the by. So quick podcast, because there's a couple of bits of news. By the way, I'm going to say on the podcast that I do, every company here is profitable, okay? So just so you know, you will not hear me talking about now anymore hope high potential story stocks that some may say will make you rich quickly, but they're more likely to make you poor quickly. I focus on, you know, businesses generating cash, quality businesses, revenue and profits, not business ideas generating shares to fund their fantasies, okay? So just say that. By the way, if you're wondering why this podcast is so long, if you just loaded it up and you see, why is that podcast so long? It's because I have now today an AI co-host. He's called Ryan, who will give you a summary of this week's small and microcap news for this week. And if you like it, let me know. I'll maybe do, release a separate one like this every day, but let me know. Anyway, do you know what? Just over a year ago, I started actively investing into companies on the Microcap League. Now, remember, there's 60 companies on the Microcap League, but top 30, pretty much, I look at. And this, even though there's, you know, I think over 150 companies eligible to be on the Microcap League, I only display the top 60. So that in itself is a quality filter they have to get above to score highly. And so when I started the Microcap sort of league, you know, I was basing it on good fundamental and technical as well indicators suggest companies were good. You know, essentially, are companies improving? That's what you want, isn't it? What do I mean by this? So how do you sort of measure that? And in my mind, it's quite obvious you measure that in, you know, revenue growth, profit growth, balance sheet getting healthier, momentum in the stock going up, efficiency of a company, those kind of things. Put them into metrics and actually scoring them. And so you can basically boil it down to, this is a quality company. You know, their revenue's growing, their profit's growing, their cash flow is growing, they've got a healthy balance sheet. And so scoring that, you know. And I never knew how it was going to turn out. But I thought, well, that's the basics of a company. If a company is generating cash, you know, its asset base is going up, everything is improving. If it's efficient as well, if it's a good valuation at the time, then why shouldn't it go up if, you know, the potential is not priced into that valuation? Because that's what it's all about, is finding a company there. So I didn't know how it was going to do. So we're a year on. I started on the 16th of September last year. And I've been actively investing in companies. And so far, it's going well. So the total return, now you've got to look at this like a fund because, of course, there's 30 companies in it. So it's not just holding one stock. Of course, you can do well in one stock, a lot better. But then you put all your money in one stock and go wrong as well. So it's like a fund. So to date, the returns are 35.54% for the year. How does that compare? So to indices, it's beating the AIM All Share by 32%. It's beating the FTSE Small Cap by 32%. So that's where these companies come from, those two indices. So you can see it's really picking quality companies from these indices, you know. It's beaten the FTSE 100, which has done very well, by 25%. It's beating the FTSE 250 by 32%. It's beating American indices as well, which have been flying. It's beaten the S&P 500 by 21%, beaten the NASDAQ by 15%, which is an all-time high, and that's got the Mag 7 in it. It's beaten the Dow Jones by 26% and the Russell 2000 by 26%. I'm not going to name individual UK-listed fund managers, but it's beaten them all by a lot more than that. So these are professional fund managers who actually you pay to pick stocks. It's smashing them. So it just shows, if you just focus on the numbers rather than narrative, it works. It's so easy. As human beings, we are emotional. We like stories. We love stories. We're enthralled by them. We're inspired by them. But when it comes to stocks, you're better off not obsessing on the story. It can make you go bankrupt. You'll be blind. You're biased. And you're very subjective. So it's about being very clinical on stocks and measuring them on metrics. And if you do that, of course, it makes sense. But it's very clinical. Like I said, a lot of people like to invest in story stocks that, oh, it's got world-changing technology. Really? How come it hasn't got any revenue? How come the revenue isn't growing? How come they're not getting profits? How come they had no growth? You know, so there we are. And if you read the book, there's, you know, a whole chapter on this. So, you know, if you're talking about, if you are in a company, there's a technology company or, I don't know, a biotech company, whatever, and you know, they're commercial. It means they're generating revenue and the revenue is growing. But they supposedly have cutting-edge technology. Why isn't it growing? If it's the best tech out there, it should be growing massively. Anyway, some of the performers on the Microcap League over the last year have been, you know, these are companies that appear in the top 30 of the Microcap League. So you can tell it's, you know, it's working, picking out very high-quality companies. Concurrent Technologies, up 121%. Distribution Finance Capital, up 89%. Journeo, up 108%. Orchard Funding, up 84%. Personal Group, up 106%. Cortex Technologies, up 100%. Ramsden's, up 79%. The Works, up 117%. And by the way, I've just cut it off there because I put on a chart and I added too many. There's a lot more above it. Synectix, above 70%. There's a lot more above 50%. There's quite a few, in fact, quite a few above 70%. But those are the sort of top scoring. And the minimum return of those companies is 79%. So, of course, you know, if you take a couple of losses there, then you will be, you know, your average will be about 35%. But even that, if you compound 35% over many years, you're beating the best. The best, the best. Warren Buffett hasn't done that. And just by compounding that amount of return over years would, you know, seriously transform your wealth over many years. Anyway, let's have a quick look at some companies on the Microcap database, like I said. Unless I state otherwise, they're all profitable. And if they're not, then they may... if I state them, they do be profitable. By the way, if they're not profitable, I'll state it. I'll say this is due to be profitable next year. So this is not companies that are hope high potential, no profit in sight. You know, they're all profitable unless they state otherwise, in which case they'll be profitable in the next 12 months or they're forecasted to be. But businesses never run smoothly. And going from loss-making to profit-making, you often see companies hit bumps in the road. The amount of times I've seen a company suggest they're going to be profitable, then miss. It's unbelievable. So anyway, just a couple of bits of news I didn't cover off yesterday. And like I say, my AI co-host, Ryan, at the end here, will cover off lots of company news. So I'll leave that to him. First of all, Concurrent Technologies, 5.25 million defense contract win. This is a good company. Like I said, it's in the microcap league. It's been there for a while. It's dropped out into, I think, where did it draw? It's still in top 60, but due to the valuation, it's gone down a bit. But represents first time the customer has been outsourced the design of its own computer. This is a US-based major defense prime contractor. And so, yeah, the broker here says, we believe this contract has opened up the door to a potentially substantial new area of business and revenue growth. But on my comments, you know, they've done very well, Concurrent. And they're not cheap, but they also said recently, after H1 results, that the board is confident in delivering financial performance ahead of 2025 market expectations. And they had record-breaking revenue, profit and order intake for H1. Forecast 2025, our revenue up by 29%, net profit up by 45%, at 187 a share. This is the last time I got, in fact, what are they now? They're on a PE, forecast PE here, of 29. So they're expected to do 29% top line growth to 52 million and 45% net profit growth to 6.8 million. That's as a PE of 29. And like I said, that's not cheap, but if you consider for 2026 and 2027, they're expected to deliver double-digit top-line, double-digit bottom-line growth for 26, 27, just shows it's a quality company. And they're opening up a new facility, I think, which will give them even more capacity. But this Miles Adcock, who did sell for a few shares yesterday, actually, sort of transformed the business and became a first-time player, very quick to market with their products. So it's a quality business, and quality businesses do not come cheap, full stop. So if I were you, you know, on a dip, and as long as the, you know, the operations are going as they say, I'd seriously do some research on that company. Next, Skillcast. SKL is ticker. They help companies build ethical, inclusive, and resilient workplaces. Provides content and technology to digitize and streamline compliance processes and manage them from a single compliance portal. So 61 pence, 54 million market cap, 45 million enterprise value. And they announced, half year results for 25. Revenue up 18% to 7.5 million. Net profit 596K. So it's not a lot for that, you know, for the market cap. Versus a loss, though. So they've gone from loss to profit there, 569K. Net cash, 11.5 million versus 8.3. So that's gone up by 38%. Free cash flow, 2.5 million versus 1.2. So up 104%. Now, forecast for 25, a revenue up. It's a high recurring margin business. High recurring revenue business, I mean. Revenue of 15.4 million, up 16%. Net profit up 135% to 1.2 million. That's 62 pence a share. PE of forecast of 46. But enterprise value of 38 as they have net cash of 11.5. Excellent growth, but on a valuation level, it's not cheap. 2026, revenue expected to be up 16% to 17.8 million. Net profit up 42% to 1.7 million. That would be a PE 32, enterprise value earnings of 27. Again, good growth, but on a valuation level, it's no bargain. The broker values them on an enterprise value annual recurring revenue model. And so they say, we reiterate our 75 pence target, equivalent to 3.5 times FY26 expected EV ARR with an 18% growth. And they say, based on peers, which are 4 times EV, which is enterprise value against their annual recurring revenue, that's how they do it. I mean, do you know what though? There's always, you know, I believe there's always a chance of buying companies at a high valuation on this basis. If you use that kind of model and sales models, then you can tend to overpay if you believe that. And if you use a sort of PE level, you say, as long as I've got double digit growth and you're not going above 20 times, or you try and get something around 15 or 10 with double digit growth, that's quite rare. But if you base it on that, you'll never sort of overpay. And that's one of the big risks in buying companies without looking at valuations. You tend to buy at a high valuation And then if you get a miss in revenues or profits, it tanks. Because, of course, that high valuation is based on what's expected to come. And if it doesn't come, then they do tank. So, like I say, high valuation is a risk. And so it often implies a lot of the reward is priced in. So always be trying to be aware of that. And I've paid the price for, and you know, worst case scenario, even, you know, you get companies anyway will go to a certain height, a certain PE, and they won't go much further. So you'll just have, you know, share price going sideways for like a year before the earnings catch up with the valuation, or 2 years maybe, you know, in a range, which is a, you know, it's inefficient allocation of capital. So you want to get companies that are good valuation, that are growing. And so when they post, you know, results that confirm their growth is there, it confirms they're undervalued. They shoot up, you know, so it's just, and I often say, why put money into a company when you know it's going to be, you know, stagnant for like a year, unless it's paying a decent dividend. I don't mind buying a stock, which is in a range, trading range, and they're paying like a 4-5% dividend, that's fine, because you're getting paid to hold then. But, you know, if it's not paying a dividend, then and you buy an overvalued stock, it can just go sideways for a while. At best, you know, in fact, at best, it can go up. At worst, it can miss an estimate and tank, but you know, but then sort of what can happen is just go sideways for a long time, which is so frustrating. Anyway, that's it. I'm going to leave you now with my AI co-host Ryan, who will take you through this week's microcap and small cap news. Speak you next week. Have a nice weekend.
Micro and small cap company news for the weeks commencing the 15th of September 2023. Concurrent Technologies PLC announced securing a $5.25 million contract with a major US-based defense prime contractor for design services. This marks the customer's first instance of outsourcing computer product design and Concurrent's initial provision of design services. Effective immediately, the contract spans through 2025 and 2026. The product will leverage Concurrent's expertise in Intel-based computing products, incorporating customer-specific content and technology. The customer views this product as transformative, aligning with open standards and agile solutions, enabling them to focus on software and system offerings. This contract allows Concurrent to strengthen its engineering team and assess design services as a potential future business line. Skillcast Group PLC reported an 18% increase in total revenue, reaching £7. 5 million for the 6 months ended June 30, 2025, driven by a 23% rise in subscription revenue to £6.4 million. Annualized recurring revenue, ARR, also increased by 23% to £12.8 million. The gross margin improved to 75.5%, up from 71.7% in the prior year. EBITDA significantly increased to £0.7 million, a substantial rise from £0.03 million in the first half of 2024. The company declared an interim dividend of 0.202 pence per share, a 20% increase. Skillcast's cash in bank position strengthened to £11.5 million, and free cash flow rose to £2.2 million. Basic EPS was 0.636p compared to a 0.009p in the prior period. Begbies Trainer Group's AGM statement reported a successful prior financial year driven by organic growth across its advisory services. The company highlighted a significant increase in free cash flow, enabling a proposed 8% rise in the total dividend, marking the eighth consecutive year of dividend growth. The group has tripled in size over 10 years, with a sixfold increase in adjusted profit before tax, and is making good progress toward its medium-term revenue target of £200 million. The first quarter results to July 31, 2025, were in line with expectations, and the group anticipates delivering market expectations for the full year, with revenue projected between £163 million and £164 million and adjusted profit before tax between £23.7 million and £24.9 million. Iofina PLC reported a record H1 revenue of $29.2 million, a 12.3% increase from H1 2024's $26.0 million. The cost of sales rose to $22.8 million, yielding a gross profit of $6.3 million, up 21.2%. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 43.5% to $3.3 million, and the operating profit was $1.8 million, a 63.3% increase. Tax credits income totaled $1.8 million, leading to a profit before tax of $3.5 million, up 218%. The company produced 305.5 metric tons of crystalline iodine, a 10.6% increase, and crystalline iodine sales grew by 9% to 208 metric tons. Net debt stood at $0.8 million, and cash was maintained at a healthy level of $6.4 million. The group expects to produce 400 to 440 metric tons of crystalline iodine in H2 2025. Journeo PLC announced the receipt of a £1.5 million purchase order from a Northern Transport Partnership. The order includes the supply and installation of high-definition TFT displays and ultra-low-power e-paper displays. Notably, nearly 40% of the order is for ultra-low-power displays. These displays will be integrated into the group's SARS-based Journeo portal, facilitating content management and real-time departure information. The e-paper displays will operate exclusively on renewable energy sources with battery backup at locations without existing power provision. MNC Saatchi PLC reported unaudited interim results for the period ended the 30th of June 2025, revealing a solid start to the year impacted by weakness in Australia and macro-driven softness in Q2. The group is targeting FY profit in line with the prior year, supported by £12 million of annualized cost savings. Like-for-like net revenue decreased by 5.1% to £103.8 million, while statutory net revenue was also £103.8 million, a 7.7% decrease. Like-for-like operating profit declined by 36% to £10.3 million, with a margin of 9.9%, and statutory operating profit was £7.5 million. The group's adjusted net cash stood at £11.2 million. The company expects FYLFL revenue to be down around mid-single digits. SRT Marine Systems PLC has received formal notification of a new system contract award from a sovereign customer, expected to be worth approximately $200 million. This contract, subject to project contract completion and financing, will provide a maritime surveillance system to address maritime domain challenges. Once active, the new contract will add to the company's existing active contract book of approximately £330 million, which is currently being implemented for five sovereigns. The award stems from the company's £1.4 billion validated sales pipeline. Time Finance PLC announced that it will publish its audited annual results for the year ended the 31st of May 2025 on Wednesday the 24th of September 2025 and provide a Q1 2025-26 trading update at that time. The board anticipates that trading for the current financial year ending the 31st of May 2026 will be at least in line with market expectations. The company will hold its annual general meeting on Thursday, the 6th of November, 2025, with a notice convening the AGM to be published in due course. Funding Circle announced the renewal of its partnership with Waterfall Asset Management and BNP Paribas, securing a further £750 million forward funding commitment. This renewal will bring Waterfall's total lending through Funding Circle's platform to over £3 billion since 2018. The company extended £1.1 billion in credit to UK businesses in H1 2025. Since 2010, Funding Circle has extended approximately £16 billion in credit to over 110,000 businesses in the UK. As of June 30, 2025, Funding Circle had approximately £1.6 billion of forward funding in place from institutional investors, which is further supported by this new £750 million renewal. Hercules PLC announced new contract awards in the UK water sector totaling approximately £6.5 million. These contracts, secured over the past two quarters, are from clients including Galliford Try, Costain, Tilbury Douglas, MWH Treatment, Glanua, and Thames Water. The projects are geographically distributed, with around £4.5 million awarded within the Thames Water region and approximately £1 million each in the Severn Trent Water and Anglian Water regions. These awards coincide with a significant investment period in the UK water sector, with utility companies expected to invest over £104 billion during the current asset management period. M. Winkworth PLC announced its interim results for the 6 months ended the 30th of June 2025, revealing a 15% increase in network revenues to £32.0 million, up from £27.9 million in H1 2024. Network sales revenues rose by 27% to £16.9 million, while network lettings revenues increased by 4% to £15.1 million. Winkworth revenue saw a 1% uptick to £5.20 million. Profit before taxation decreased by 19% to £0.83 million, impacted by one-off costs. However, net cash generated from operating activities doubled to £0.96 million. The company's cash balance stood at £3.86 million at the end of June. An increased ordinary dividend of 6.6p per share was declared, compared to 6.0p in H1 2024. Nextec PLC announced that its Quixent brand has secured its first mass production purchase order from a Brazilian state video lottery operator, marking its entrance into the Brazil market. This order follows the development of a specifically engineered solution for this emerging market. The company anticipates this purchase order will generate revenues in FY26, based on current component lead times. This development is expected to bolster confidence in meeting FY26 expectations and achieving the group's three-year plan. The company views this as the first of many opportunities in the region. Ten Lifestyle Group PLC announced its full-year trading update, expecting net revenue of approximately £65.7 million, a 5% increase from the previous year's £62.9 million, and a 7% increase at constant currency to £67.1 million. Active members rose by 7% to 375,000. Adjusted EBITDA increased by £1.8 million to around £14.6 million, surpassing market expectations, with a £0.4 million increase to £13.2 million at constant currency. The adjusted EBITDA margin is expected to improve to 22.2%. The company's cash and cash equivalents at year-end were approximately £10.6 million, with net cash of around £9.8 million. All loan notes were repaid, and a new £5.0 million revolving credit facility with NatWest was secured post-period. Trufin PLC reported interim results for the 6 months ended June 30, 2025, showing significant growth. Gross revenue increased by 42% to £36.0 million, while net revenue rose by 29% to £15.4 million. Adjusted EBITDA saw a substantial increase of 136% to £6.9 million, and profit before tax surged by 2,711% to £4.6 million. Playstax revenue grew by 52% to £30.7 million, and Oxygen's gross revenue increased by 27% to £4.4 million, with EBITDA growth of 151% to £1.6 million. However, Satago's gross revenue decreased by 56% to £0.7 million due to a contract termination. The company also completed a share buyback program, purchasing for 1,107,607 shares at an average price of 97.4p for a total consideration of £4.0 million. Aggregate revenues for July and August 2025 are more than £11.0 million. Eagle Eye Solutions Group PLC reported its final results for the year ended June 30, 2025, with group revenue increasing by 1% to £48.2 million. SaaS revenue grew by 11% to £40.2 million, driven by a 30% increase in Eagle Eye revenue to £5.7 million. However, period-end annual recurring revenue decreased by 14% to £34.0 million. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 8% to £12.2 million, representing a margin of 25.3%, while adjusted EBITDA rose by 43% to £6.6 million, with a margin of 13.6%. Profit before tax saw a significant increase of 315% to £3.0 million. net cash flows from operations increased by 42% to £13.5 million, resulting in net cash at year-end of £12.3 million, an 18% increase. The company also commenced a £1 million share buyback program. EKF Diagnostics Holdings PLC reported revenue from continuing operations of £25.2 million, consistent with H1 2024, but up 2.2% on a constant currency basis to £25.8 million. Gross profit increased to £12.7 million from £12.1 million, with gross margins improving to 50.2% from 48.1%. Adjusted EBITDA rose by 7.4% to £5.8 million, compared to £5.4 million in the previous period, and profit before tax increased by 16.1% to £3.6 million. Net cash generated from operations was £4.9 million, while cash and cash equivalents net of bank borrowing stood at £16.6 million. A share buyback of £1 million was completed, acquiring 4.6 million shares. The company's full-year guidance remains unchanged, with revenue and adjusted EBITDA forecasts of £53.6 million and £12.4 million, respectively. Elico PLC announced its interim results for the 6 months ended June 30, 2025, revealing a 13% increase in total revenue to £18.4 million, compared to £16.3 million in H1 2024. Annualized recurring revenue, ARR, rose by 19% to £30.7 million. Total recurring revenue, TRR, increased by 23% to £14.8 million, representing 81% of total revenue. The company's EBITDA grew by 27% to £3.8 million, while operating profit also increased by 27% to £1.9 million. Profit before taxation, PBT, saw a 25% increase to £2.0 million, and profit after taxation, PAT, rose by 23% to £1.6 million. Basic earnings per share increased by 33% to 2.0p. The interim dividend was raised by 17% to 0.35p per share. Cash at the end of June 2025 was £12.2 million. Fintel PLC reported strong half-year results for the 6 months ended June 30, 2025, with group revenue increasing by 18.6% to £42.4 million. Organic revenue grew by 4% to £37.2 million, while SaaS and subscription revenues rose by 21.1% to £24.2 million. The group's adjusted EBITDA increased by 17% to £11.2 million, although the adjusted EBITDA margin slightly decreased to 26.4%. Adjusted EPS increased by 14% to 5.7p. Fintel's cash position stood at £8.4 million, with net debt at £30.1 million. The company announced an 8.3% increase in the interim dividend to 1.3p per share. The software and data division saw a 17% revenue increase to £18.4 million, and the services division revenue increased by 20% to £24.0 million. The acquisition of RSMR was completed for an initial cash outlay of £6.4 million. Focusrite PLC reported a resilient trading performance for the 12 months ended August 31, 2025, with revenue expected to be approximately £168 million, a 6% increase compared to the £158. £5 million reported for the year ended August 31, 2024. Revenue for the 6 months to August 31, 2025, is expected to be approximately £87 million, compared to £81.6 million in the second half of FY24. Net debt improved to approximately £11 million as of August 31, 2025, down from £12.5 million the previous year and £17.9 million at HY25. The board anticipates adjusted EBITDA for the period to be within the current market forecast range of £24.5 million to £26.0 million. Cromec Group PLC reported its final results for the year ended April 30, 2025, with revenue increasing by 37% to £26.5 million from £19.4 million in 2024. Advanced imaging revenue was £20.3 million, up from £9.0 million, while CBRN detection revenue decreased to £6.2 million from £10.4 million. The gross margin improved significantly to 81% from 55%. Adjusted EBITDA increased to £10.3 million compared to £3.1 million in the prior year. Profit before tax was £3.1 million, a substantial improvement from a £3.5 million loss in 2024. The company repaid £5.5 million term loan and £5.9 million short-term loan facilities in February 2025. Cash and cash equivalents stood at £1.7 million, with an additional $5 million received post-year-end. The company also has an undrawn credit facility of £6.0 million. MJ Gleeson PLC reported its audited results for the year ended June 30, 2025. Group revenue increased by 5.9% to £365.8 million, with Gleeson Homes contributing £348.2 million and Gleeson Land £17.6 million. However, the group's profit before tax decreased to £20.5 million. Gleeson Homes sold 1,793 homes, with average selling prices increasing by 4.3% to £193,600, but operating profit decreased to £22.3 million. Gleeson Land completed 7 land transactions, increasing operating profit to £7.0 million. The company ended the year with net borrowings of £0.8 million. A final dividend of 7.0 pence per share is proposed, bringing the total dividend for the year to 11.0 pence per share. The board expects the group to deliver an overall result for FY 2026 in line with its expectations. Manolete Partners PLC reported that in the period to August 31, 2025, they onboard 114 new cases, generating £4.2 million in unaudited unrealized revenue, compared to 87 cases and £3.1 million in the same period last year. However, only 4 cases settled at a value greater than £250,000 versus 10 in the prior year period, leading to lower average realized revenue per completed case, excluding the settled cartel case. The cash injection from the settled truck cartel case was £3.2 million, used to reduce debt. Due to delayed payments from debtors and lower realized revenue, the company's facility remains drawn to £12.5 million. Realized revenues are expected to be significantly weighted towards the second half of the financial year. Personal Group Holdings PLC announced its interim results for the 6 months ended June 30, 2025, featuring an 11% increase in revenue to £23.3 million. Recurring revenue streams also rose by 12% to £45.7 million, including a 12% increase in insurance annualized premium income to £38.0 million and a 10% increase in benefits platform annual recurring revenue to £6.9 million. Adjusted EBITDA increased significantly by 42% to £5.5 million, and profit before tax increased by 68% to £3.8 million. Basic EPS increased by 78% to 9.6p. The company generated £4.0 million in cash from operating activities, holding £26.9 million in cash and deposits. Reflecting confidence, the interim dividend increased by 26% to 8.2p per share. Springfield Properties PLC announced its final results for the year ended the 31st of May 2025, with revenue increasing to £280.6 million from £266.5 million in 2024. The company's profit before tax rose significantly to £19.0 million, a substantial increase from £9.7 million the previous year, and basic EPS increased to 11.86p from 6.36p. Adjusted profit before tax reached £20.1 million, compared to £10.6 million in 2024, and adjusted basic EPS was 12.66p, up from 7.05p. Net bank debt decreased to £20.9 million from £39.9 million, and the total dividend per share doubled to 2.0p. The company also entered an agreement with Barratt Redrow PLC for the sale of 2,480 plots of undeveloped land for £64.2 million in cash. S3 PLC reported a 12% year-over-year decrease in group net fees for Q3, although there was a modest sequential improvement quarter-on-quarter. Contract net fees, representing 83% of the total, were down 13% year-over-year, while permanent net fees decreased by 5%. The contractor order book stood at £156 million, a 6% decrease year-over-year. The company's net cash was £42 million at the end of August, down from £48 million at the end of May. S3 anticipates FY25 profit before tax to align with the previously announced guidance of approximately £25 million. Due to persistent softness in new business activity, FY26 profit before tax is expected to be around £10 million, impacted by approximately £20 million due to operational gearing and investment initiatives. Tiny Building announced its unaudited half-year results for the 6 months ended June 30, 2025, reporting revenue from continuing operations of $17.0 million, a slight increase from $16.8 million in H1 2024. Adjusted EBITDA from continuing operations showed a strong improvement to $4.2 million, compared to a $2.3 million loss in H1 2024, driven by a favorable revenue mix and reduced operating costs, with SG&A at $7.1 million versus $10.5 million. Gross profit increased to $10.4 million, reflecting a decrease in impairment of development costs to $1.1 million from $3.0 million, and net cash from operating activities rose to $6.8 million from $2.0 million. The company's cash and cash equivalent stood at $4.6 million, up from $3.1 million at the end of 2024. A $0.5 million pre-tax loss was recorded on the disposal of Red Cerberus. Bango PLC announced its interim results for the 6 months ended June 30, 2025, with total revenue increasing by 5% to $25.2 million compared to $24.1 million in the first half of 2024. Transactional revenue remained flat at $16.4 million, while DVM and one-off revenue rose by 15% to $8.9 million. The company's annual recurring revenue, ARR, grew by 20% to $15.6 million. Adjusted EBITDA increased significantly by 66% to $6.7 million, up from $4.0 million. However, the company reported a loss for the period of $3.2 million, an improvement from the $4.2 million loss in the same period last year. Net debt increased to $7.3 million from $5.1 million. Ingenta PLC reported interim results for the 6 months ending June 30, 2025, with group revenues increasing to £5.2 million from £5.1 million in 2024, of which 88% was recurring. The gross profit margin improved to 51% from 48%, and adjusted EBITDA rose by 29% to £0.9 million. Cash from operations increased significantly by 75% to £0.7 million, resulting in cash balances of £3.9 million. Adjusted earnings per share increased by 38% to 5.86 pence, and the interim dividend saw a 17% increase to 1.75 pence per share. Commercial revenue increased by 9% to £3.7 million, while content revenue decreased by 13% to £1.4 million. The company has declared an increased interim dividend of 1.75 pence per share payable on October 31, 2025. Knights Group Holdings PLC announced its full-year results, revealing an 8% increase in revenue to £162.0 million. The gross margin improved by 170 bps to 50.5%, while underlying EBITDA rose by 11% to £42.9 million, increasing the margin to 26.5%. Underlying PBT also increased by 11% to £28.0 million, with a margin increase to 17.3%. the underlying basic EPS increased by 10% to 23.95p. Net debt stood at £64.8 million after £25.1 million of acquisition consideration. The company declared a final dividend of 3.05p, resulting in a total dividend increase of 9.3% to 4.81p. The company recruited 51 senior fee earners, a 28% increase, and reduced churn to 10% in H2. Windar Photonics PLC reported an 18% increase in revenue to €2.7 million for H1 2025, compared to €2.3 million in H1 2024. The company experienced a slight increase in EBITDA loss to €0.2 million, impacted by increased marketing investment. The loss after tax was €0.7 million, with a basic loss per share of 1 cent. Despite adverse currency effects resulting in a €0.5 million loss, COGS reduced by 15% compared to the end of 2024. Windar's cash position remained strong at €6.0 million. Post H1, the company secured a US order for $2.6 million and anticipates H2 2025 deliveries of €3.6 million.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The contents of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.